From NPR News in New York, this is the Bryant Park Project with Allison Stewart and Luke Burbank.
Thanks, everybody, for checking out the Bryant Park Project. From NPR News, I'm Allison Stewart. On my own today, Luke Burbank, he's in Chicago. You want to check him out because he's hosting Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me this weekend. Now, the headlines from Iraq this week, a little bit of a mixed bag, which means there was actually some good news in there. Oh, but wait, the political pundits claim the positive news is the result of the cherry-picking of information. Still, others counter the additional troops sent to Iraq, called the Surge by the White House. Well, it may be working. Let's try to put it all in context with the week in Iraq. The confirmation hearing for the new chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff was held this week when quizzed by the Senate Armed Services Committee. The nominee, Admiral Michael Mullen, offered his assessment of what's happening in Iraq.
Security is better, not great, but better. I believe security is critical to providing the government of Iraq the breathing space it needs to work toward political national reconciliation and economic growth, which are themselves critical to a stable Iraq. Barring that, no amount of troops in no amount of time will make much of a difference.
Well, there was some, well, let's get to that good news, or we'll call it less distressing news. How about that? July saw the lowest number of U.S. deaths in a month since the beginning of 07. 80 Americans were killed this month. Now, the Iraqi government countered with these numbers. There were 1,653 Iraqi deaths in July, up from 1,227 in June. 13 of those people were victims of one of the week's most notable attacks. A suicide car bomber detonated his device at an Iraqi police station. August started with the death of four soldiers in Baghdad at separate events. As for the British military, newish Prime Minister Gordon Brown visited Camp David for the first time and said his troops are going to come out sooner rather than later, and the decision will be based on UK military intelligence, not White House requests.
Our aim, like the United States, is step by step to move control to the Iraqi authority, to the Iraqi government and to its security forces as progress is made. And we've moved from combat to overwatch in three of the four provinces for which we, the British, have security responsibility. We intend to move to overwatch in the fourth promise, and that decision will be made on the military advice of our commanders on the ground.
But everybody's just going to have to wait for that Iraqi government because the parliament, well, they went on holiday until September, leaving many benchmarks unmet. Not to mention a large Sunni group, the Accordance Front, announced that it will withdraw from the parliament because its demands weren't met, demands like the release of thousands, they say, of detainees. Now, on the U.S. political front, the House voted 229-194 to give U.S. troops guaranteed time at home between deployments to Iraq. And an op-ed in the New York Times stirred the political pot with a piece titled "A War We Just Might Win," written by two analysts from the Brookings Institution who visited Iraq for 8 days. Here's co-author Kenneth Pollack on why he thinks things are improving.
The changes are happening very quickly. And again, it's this combination of the United States now taking a real interest in the safety and security of the Iraqis reaching out to the Americans and turning against groups like Al-Qaeda and Jaish al-Mahdi, and just smarter decisions made by the American and to some cases, Iraqi high commands.
Well, if you type his name into any blog search this week, I'm just saying, buckle up. It's a rough ride. But before you do, let's get a little more information about all of this from Tom Ricks. He's a military correspondent for The Washington Post and author of Fiasco, The American Military Adventure in Iraq. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
So, Tom, just make sure I'm clear on this. You spent 5 tours in Iraq. Is that correct?
I've been there actually 7 times, varying from short visits to usually I would try to do 4 to 6 weeks of knocking around the country.
All right. So I feel like I can ask you this after you've been to Iraq 7 times. The 8 days that these two analysts went to Iraq, do you think that's enough time to decide whether things are better on the ground?
Well, it partly depends on where you go, and it partly depends on how many times you've been there. So I don't know. I actually found their piece kind of incautious. I talk to people in Iraq every day by email, and I rarely find that sort of optimism among commanders there.
The op-ed pointed that the military is getting somewhere, and they gave a lot of credit to General Petraeus, who obviously took over earlier this year around the time of the surge. What is he doing differently that could earn him this kind of praise?
Well, he is operating differently, and I think it's important to notice it and to credit it. He is moving U.S. troops out of the big isolated bases and out to live among the people in what they call these combat outposts. He has refocused the U.S. military not on pursuing and killing the enemy, but on protecting the people. And that is step one in any classic counterinsurgency campaign. That said, there's been a lot of sloppy thinking and talk about Iraq. This hazy, fuzzy talk about steady progress and so on. It's important to talk about what kind of progress are we talking about. The progress that the O'Hanlon-Pollock piece looked at and that people tend to focus on is what we call tactical progress, localized. Security has improved in some parts of Baghdad. That said, the purpose of the surge is not tactical. It is strategic. And the stated strategic goal of the counteroffensive, as laid out by the president in January when he announced it, was to operate in such a way as to create a political breathing space for national reconciliation in Iraq. Not only is that not occurring, there have been steps backwards this very week away from it. The Sunnis left the cabinet, and there's talk that the Iraqi government might fall apart. So we are not moving in the right direction in that, and that is the goal of the surge. So
but wait,
no
but
evidence.
Tom, we're supposed to have a report on September 15th that tells us that everything is moving forward, right?
Well, I think General Petraeus will come out and put lipstick on the pig. He'll say...
Is there enough lipstick?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a pretty big pig. You're right. He will say, don't worry about the benchmarks that were laid down. Let's look at the progress we're making in unexpected ways, like the shift of alliance in some tribes from al-Qaeda to the American side. He'll say, give me time, and I might make this work. But what he'll try to do, I think, is also focus the debate on the consequences of possible courses of actions. Have you thought about what it will mean for the region if you pull out altogether? What will it mean for Iraqis if you stop patrolling the neighborhoods and fall back into the bases? Will there be intimidation by terrorism? Will there even be ethnic cleansing on a huge scale that kills tens of thousands of people?
Let me ask you about Prime Minister Brown. Did he create any sort of problem for the Bush administration with his comments talking about, well, we're at a 3 out of 4, and as soon as the military gives me the okay, we're going to go as well?
You know, I love that British accent because it really is probably the best lipstick applicator in the world. Southern Iraq is a mess, and the British and the Americans both know it. A top official in Iraq told me when I was there in May, the British have been defeated in the south. They no longer are controlling events in any form down south. And the worry here is that a civil war within Shiite factions already is bubbling in the south and could get worse this year. In fact, I've heard some analysts say, if you want to know what Baghdad is like next year, look at Basra down south this year.
Wow. Let me ask you about that number of troops, or U.S. deaths, I should say. They described it as, the military did, a low number. We should, of course, point out that any number is too high. Should we be encouraged by that, however?
I've never thought that troop deaths were a good indicator of progress or lack of it. I could cut your troop numbers to almost zero tomorrow morning, put them back on their big bases, and don't have them do anything. And they can eat Baskin-Robbins ice cream and watch NFL football on the TV. They won't die. So sometimes you actually make progress when they are out fighting and taking neighborhoods.
Tom Ricks is a military correspondent for The Washington Post. His new book is Fiasco. It's not new. It's actually new in paperback, I should say. The American Military Adventures in Iraq. Hey, Tom, thanks for explaining so much to us. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Anytime.
We will be back next week with full 2 hours of the Bryant Park Project. We'll cross our fingers about that anyway. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. I'm Allison Stewart.